in this world, yeah, you're going to have troubles. I don't know what kind of troubles, all very type of trials that we go through. And then, but you know, he says, take heart. Take heart, for I've overcome the world. And that's very encouraging for me. And I hope that's encouraging for you. Those are Jesus' words to us. And we just look at that. And people say, well, you know, what's this all about? Well, as you look further in that, you know, down there in verse 16, it says, however, if you suffer as a Christian. See, there's only three times that they've written that word Christian in the Bible. And Christian, people go, what is a Christian? Well, really, if you look at this, what it means, this is a follower of Christ. So a lot of times when people say, hey, you know, what do you believe in? What's your faith in? Or something like that. I'll just say, I'm a follower of Christ. And they usually go, whoa. You mentioned that name. See, it's easy to say Christian. I know a lot of people say Christian. But a lot of them don't even know really what it means. They just say it. It's kind of a safe word in some ways. But when you say, I'm a follower of Christ, ooh, that then you start getting a little target on your back. See, when you're a follower of Christ, you're going to be speaking about Christ. Your life is going to be taking actions and behaviors following Christ. And people aren't going to like it. A lot of people just don't want to know about it for one reason or another. So there's going to be a lot of discomfort. There's going to be a lot of pain coming our ways one way or another. Heartache to somebody socking you in the nose. Or even worse. And something that we have to remember, though, don't be surprised. It's interesting. Because when you look back at Moses, taking these 600,000 plus people out of Egypt, and he's running from Pharaoh at that time. And he came up to the sea, and then he turned around, so he had the sea in front. He turned around, there's a big old army of chariots coming after him from behind. And what did he do? I mean, he's going through a fiery trial right then and there. Tough time. He lifted up his arms, and what did he do? He cried out to God. Woe is me! Did he say that? Something like that, maybe. Then you have others like a David, who was innocent, but driven from his country as a fugitive. Spears thrown at him, people trying to catch him and kill him. He'd be crying out. A lot of these psalms that you read in the Bible are crying out to God. Help! Elijah, after this great victory on Mount Carmel, where God showed his divine fire coming down. And yet after that, he runs back. And old Jezebel, who already killed, I don't know how many prophets she killed. She killed many prophets of the Lord. And then she says, I'm going to make you dead as well. And he ran for his life. Trial. I'm running. I got to get out of here. He ran to God. God's supernatural grace taking care of him. Remember the fiery furnace? Daniel's friends? The king says, well, if you don't bow down to all these musical instruments immediately and give glory to this idol I put up, you're going in that furnace. I'm talking about a fiery trial. Ooh. Wipe the sweat off that one. You can feel the heat. How about Jesus? Walking that road, carrying the cross that he couldn't carry anymore. Being put up on a cross and having his arms laid out, stretched out, and nails being driven through his feet, hanging. See, what I'm getting at, we're not the only ones that have gone through trials. We're not the only ones that have gone through fiery trials. There have been many more before us. There's going to be many more now and in the future. But we can take hope in the good news of this. That God is not our enemy. See, a lot of people think that God is out to judge them and get after them and do all bad things to them because you're just not good enough. Because I sinned. Because I'm not rich enough. I don't look good enough. I don't speak well enough. I grew up in this area. Oh, God is out to get me. Oh, kind of like if you ever watched Laurel and Hardy, and I think it was Ollie that would say it to his to Laurel, he'd say, oh, this is another mess you got me into. See, it gets all, people get this viewpoint of an angry God. And we got to just shake that out of our minds because that's what the enemy has put in there. That is not God the Father. That's not the God creator. Because if he wanted to deal with us, all he had to do is just breathe and we're gone. All he had to do is just, he could send a fire and just burn us all up. Send another flood, which he promised he wouldn't do. He could just cause our hearts, all of our hearts, to stop instantly. No, he's not an angry God. It's not out to get us. The whole opposite of that. Through these fire trials, we know this one thing. Take comfort in this. That you're not walking alone through it all. And we're going to get more into that as well. Don't be surprised. You know, people are saying, you know, not only is it, are you, don't be surprised because, yeah, we're going to go face to, but you know what? And then they go further and say, rejoice. And they're going, what? Come on. Don't talk to me about rejoicing. I just stubbed my toe. It hurts. Don't get near me when I stub my toe. I guarantee you don't want to be near me. All right. Don't get near me. Consider it pure joy. What? Brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Ooh, what's so good about that? I don't want perseverance, but I got to go through trials. I want to be comfy. Leave me alone. I'm going to hang out in my cabin and live there all my life. And nobody bugging me. I'll do what I want to do. This is my life. I'll do what I want with it, attitude. You got that attitude, don't you? I know I did. I still do. Sometimes. It's a big fight. So rejoice. Oh, no. Come on, stop it. Rejoice again? Why is this in the scriptures? Why is God telling us to do this? Rejoice. Because there's benefits. Did you know there's benefits going through trials? Did you know that there's benefits for you going through fiery trials? And I know you're just saying, shut up. I'm not the one that wrote this. I didn't write this up. This is God. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop what? endurance, and I think that's the same thing as perseverance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. See, you know one thing God, people forget about God? They always think he's angry and stuff like that. Or he doesn't care, or he's way off, aloof, you know, oh, he's not even here. No, no, that's all enemies' lies. Or what the philosophy of man speaks. No, God is right there with us. In fact, he's walking with us through it all. See, people don't understand one thing, and sometimes we just have to get around. He's a refiner. See, God is a perfectionist. Do you know what perfectionists are like? Do you have any artists in your family? You got anybody that likes to, you know, do things with their hands and stuff like that? You know, a lot of people are perfectionists. Why are you smiling at me, Ashton? I mean, well, don't feel judged. Not yet. Perfectionists like perfection. Now, for humans, we can only get it so well. Okay? We can only get it so well. But we try. But see, God is perfect, and he is looking for perfection, and he's not going to stop until he gets it, and he's looking at you. He's looking right at your heart and saying, you're not perfect yet, so I'm going to throw this your way. Well, it might get a little fiery. It might a little be hot on your toesies. You might be crying out, but you know what? If you're crying out to him, then you're starting to get it right. See, if you're crying it out to somebody else or some system of the world or some book or some, you know, religion, that's just rules of man, then God's going to keep on throwing stuff your way because he doesn't want you crying out to anybody else but him. In Psalm 121, what does it say? You know, I lift up my eyes up to mountains, right? Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. See, he got it. You know who wrote that? David. Guy that has gone through fiery trials. You know what he had to do after a while? He lifted up his eyes. He said, I need help. See, he's starting to pass through the fire. Refiner's fire. A guy named Andre Crouch, you know that Through It All song? That's his song. And part of his testimony is he was on a deathbed. In fact, it must have been so bad. I don't know what it was. It must have been so bad that the doctors just turned around away from him and started shaking their heads. But God did something because he brought him back. Got him out of that bed, and he started singing and going around the world again. So that's where those words come from somebody who experienced God's grace and power in his life. As somebody who was going through such a trial, a fiery trial, that he almost took his life out, right? Almost took him away. So he comes up with these words. Remember, we just sang them. Through it all. Through it all. You know, so here comes the benefits. Here comes the benefits right here. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Those are good benefits. Now you're starting to turn your eyes where it needs to be, where your help, true help, comes from. And then it goes further, you know, and then you learn a little bit more. Oh, I can depend upon his word through it all. Through it all. How many times when we're going through a problem or issue or something in our lives and we don't even take a look at this book? Or we don't even go gather with our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ and just talk and ask people to pray for you. How many times do you just say, no, I'm doing it all myself? I got this thing figured out. I'm good enough. I can get through this on my own. I can walk on those coals. Oh, yeah. I can do it. Problem is, you might be able to do it once in a while. But eventually, you're going to hit something that you can't get through. And it might be too late for you to call out. See, it goes on further. It says, I thank God. So here comes that rejoicing into trials. See, he learned. He learned to trust in Jesus. He learned to trust in God. He learned to depend upon the Word of God. So now he can start thanking. And when you start thanking, your whole eyes turn to whoever you're thanking. Your whole heart moves in that direction. I thank God for the mountains and the valleys. Woo-wee. Hallelujah. I lost my job. Not really. Not that. But there's comfort and strength in it. So we'll learn. Because I thank him for the storms he brought me through. He brought me through. He didn't leave me out there all by myself. For catch this. Did you catch this when we were singing it? For if I'd never had a problem, and who hasn't? But if I had never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve them. Isn't that so true? See, that's what he's getting at. He's knocking on the doors of our heart and going, hey, I'm here all the time. Through the mountains and the valleys, mountaintops and valleys, I'm here for you. Don't forget me, because I can solve this for you. Just call upon me. Give me your heart. And it says, I'd never know what faith in God could do if I didn't have trials. See, I know it's hard. And I'm not saying it's easy. And I'm not saying I want to go through trials. But I tell you something, just learning a little bit about this, I know that I can trust in God. I can trust in Jesus. I can depend upon his word. Can you? Can you? You could say it now, but when it's coming down on and you're on those coals, can you? Well, remember this, because that's why it's in this word. That's what put in this Andre Crouch's heart. That's not just his own words. I know God put it in his heart. Faith. What faith in God could do. Oh, okay, let's talk about that. Remember that Moses guy? Do you remember standing in the Red Sea there and the guys, the Egyptians coming behind, they're going to get slaughtered. He raises his hands to God. He cried out to God, help me. And God said, what are you doing yelling at me? Just do what I said. Put your staff down. Split the sea. Make it dry. That's God. Israelites and Moses went on dry ground right through that with the walls of water. Both sides. Walking over there. Safety. Oh, nice and cozy. No problems. Egyptians said, ah, we're going down there too. But the problem is, see, the Israelites, they were starting to get to know God. They're starting to form a relationship with him. See, Egyptians didn't care about this God, the Israelites. They had their own gods. So when they went down there on that dry ground, you know what happened? God said, I don't know you. Waters came over them. Bye-bye. Have a nice bath. Through the trials, David, running for his life. He even had to go to these enemy countries like the Philistines and stuff like that to try to find a hiding place. And he could have been killed there. All sorts of trials. And then God just moved everything away, just parted it, just like the Red Sea. He took Saul out of the way. He took these enemies out of the way. And then he had David anointed king of all of Israel. All of Israel. And he wrote these psalms of praise and psalms where his heart's just crying out to God. But God was there with him all the time, through it all. He was there. And he lifted him up. And then Elijah, this guy he's just saying, God, let me die. I'm done. Jezebel's after me. And God gave him supernatural food. He walked 40 days, 40 nights to meet him. And then what did God do? Kicked him in the rear end. Oh yeah, he did. He gave him a nice little swift kick. And he said, you know what? You're my servant. You get up and you go. And you got other things to do. Stop crying. Stop going, woe's me. And start saying, not my will, but your will be done. And so he goes. He sends him forth. And then as he gets through all the things God told him to do, you know what he did? He honored him. He caught him up in the chariots of fire. And brought him up to be with him. He walked through it all with Elijah. Through it all. The fiery furnace, those guys, they're saying, hey, no, king, No, not your will, but God's will be done. I don't know, he could save us, I know he can, but if he doesn't, we're not going to fall down before your idol. So do what you need to do. And they throw him in, right in that hot, fiery furnace. Amazingly, there's a fourth in there. Amazingly, not even a hair was singed as they were in the furnace. And the king said, get him out of there. Brings him out. I go, whoa, we don't even smell smoke on you. See, Jesus was there. Protecting them even in the fiery furnace. In the fire, Jesus is there. And Jesus' own walk, being on a cross. You know how it looks bad in our sight. When we see people going through those fiery trials, sometimes we just turn away and go, oh, I can't look. It looks really bad from our perspective, a worldly perspective. Go, oh, I feel so sorry for you. Or I just can't even think about you. But you know, God doesn't work like that. Have you noticed? Things that look really bad to us. That cross with his blood on it, dripping down, looks really bad. But in God's sight, it was something very beautiful. Something truly perfect. Something that would change lives forever. Through that death, victory came. See, Jesus walked through death for us to defeat death and defeat Satan for us, overcoming this world so he can pave a way that we, all who believe in his name, will be saved and have everlasting life. Through it all. This wonderful perfectionist who loves us so much. But you know what's even more interesting? It's not just benefits for us going through these trials. I mean, yeah, we're starting to learn and growing in that trust. It's not just a benefits for us. But you know what? When you start getting your life changed, when his Shekinah, you know that part there, it says here, it says, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. Ooh, you must have got that wrong. You must have gotten that one wrong. You are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. That's what got me really excited about this passage. See, I know all about these trials and all this stuff, but when I see that, I go, oh, wow, what is this? See, he's with us. Shekinah glory, have you ever heard of that? Where Moses met God and he would shine, his face would shine, and he would scare people. He had to put a veil on. See, he's working in our lives through these trials and perfecting us, changing us the way we think about sin, changing us the way we think about, oh, this is my life. No, we are wrong. If you are a follower of Christ, it is not your life any longer. You are totally wrong. Because when Christ died and you believed in him, you became a person living in Christ. See, now your life, you died. That old life has died. And now you are living in Christ. See, now it's no longer your life. He paid for you. He redeemed you from your sin, your debt that nobody else could save. Nobody else could pay for that debt. He paid for you. You are no longer your own. You are actually his slave. Did you know that? But there's freedom in that. Freedom from sin. Though we deal with it. It does not reign in our lives any longer, but it still remains because we still fight with it. But it's no longer our lives. So now, as Paul recognized, you know, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So we have to stop playing games when the trials come, or even when we're on the mountaintops celebrating. We got to get our hearts right with God and remember, as he's working our lives and changing us, other people around us are watching. See, when they see you start to change the way you say things and do things and how you act, you go to church, you go to life groups, people are going, what is wrong with you? You make these commitments to Christ and you even talk about them. You know what's going to happen to them? They're going to go, oh, they might mock you. They might not want to be around you, but they're going to remember. And you know what they're going to do? Say, oh man, who could have changed Carmel? I know the way she was. Who's doing this? See, they're going to meet the truth right face there, right there. And they're going to go, God must be real. Oh, Jesus, he must be alive if he can change somebody like you. Like me. See, to benefit not only to us, but as a benefit to others. For their salvation. God works through all of the trials. He puts us through trials. Sometimes just to hold us up and say, hey, you know, Job went through those trials. You know, God was watching his heart. Others, those other guys had to see what's going on. And they had to repent at the end. See, Job wouldn't curse God's name. He had some issues with God, but he didn't curse. And then God lifted him up again because he humbled himself before him. It's amazing, isn't it? God uses these trials for many things. And people say, well, what do you do with this? Well, it says here, there in the bottom part there, it says, so then those who suffer according, and verse 19, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Commit, do good. Hold on to the promises of God, because that's what's going to carry you through, the Word of God, trusting in Him. I'm going to give you homework. I want you to find, there's over 300 promises of God. Find them in the Bible. Google them. Choose some of them that are really dear to you at this time in your life. Going through those trials, choose some promises of God and take hold of them for yourself. Take hold of them for yourself. Because listen to this, you know, that judgment is coming. They talk about judgment that starts with us, starts with the house of God first. You know, that means He's starting with His people. He's refining us. See, He'll refine us with His fire, like gold, purifying gold. But with those who are not, they don't know Jesus, that's condemnation, and they're in threat of going to hell. So, when we pass through these trials, we can't think, just don't start focusing upon woe's me attitude and start getting all self-pity on yourself. No. Start focusing upon God and calling upon Him and thanking Him and asking Him to use this trial to be a blessing, to be a light, to be something that will open up somebody's heart to Him. Listen to these are promises right here. So do not fear, for I am what? With you. He's with you through it all. I am with you. That is a promise. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will what? That's a promise. I will what? You can take those promises with you and find some more. Don't forget, when you're going through these trials, God is with us through it all, every step of the way. And He will not abandon us. He wants to show His perfect power working through our weakness. And may we become weak and broken before Him so He can use our lives that others can know Him too. Let's pray. Lord, again, Your Word is powerful. I can't even imagine even attempting to be able to do more than what I did. Father, there's more. There's more. But Lord, the most important thing is just to trust in You. To take hold of those promises and trust in You. Take hold of Your Word and depend upon it in all times, especially through those fiery trials, when it's so easy to start running and start going, woe is me, I quit, I surrender. No, Father, You have more for us. You're the one that walks with us through it all to help us, to strengthen us, to guide us, to uphold us, even when we're too weak to stand on our own. Lord, that's when You sweep in and you put us on Your shoulders and You carry us through. Help us always to remember that. You are a loving God, all-powerful God, all-knowing God, ever-present God, never-changing God, faithful God. You're always there for us. So may we walk in this truth. We pray in Jesus Christ's name, all His people say. Amen.